Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm Eric.
And you are due for a sharpening.
I'm going against the grain, Gator Grain, by not endorsing our favorite product.
You're not drinking a Gator Lace tonight?
No Gators playing in tonight's evening.
Well, they're gonna drop but us faster than Tiger Woods.
In honor of Gatorlabe. In honor of Gator Lace.
Right.
This is a liquid flavored beverage, just like our beloved sponsor. So got that in.
That's good.
Real good. I went to the store looking for an MGD. Cause
why?
I don't know why. Cause can you tell me you've seen MGD anywhere in how
long? Do they even make it anymore?
Pat's Bar still sells MGD
bottles. Okay, that and I'm like, doesn't where surprise me.
Did you guys get that?
Well, it's probably from the 90s.
Right. Yeah. Because not that I would drink Bud Light, but you can't find Bud Light in any of the bars out there now because they've all been blown to bits with AR-15, right. You know.
not to say that you wouldn't drink one. It's just disgusting.
I wouldn't drink it, but I can't drink it because they're gone because everybody shot or burned them or ran them over with a truck after paying the full asking price, of course, which is a great way to boycott something.
Yeah.
You know,
send them money.
Just keep that money flowing. Like they give a fuck how you get rid of it. You know,
well, that's funny too, because we were at Earth Day last weekend and everybody's, you know, boycotting Bud Light. So I made it a point to try to drink at least one, you know, guzzle it down as fast as possible with my nose plugged and my eyes closed to avoid the taste.
couldn't see the taste, just, man. You take one look at that fucking taste.
Just to drink one in front of all of them and then look down and be like, nope, still there.
Yeah, here it is.
For those of you that aren't O'Reilly, Earth Day is a celebration where a lot of the Riley clan gets together and plants trees and takes care of a family acreage. And there's lots of beverages consumed.
Yeah, amongst a multi-acreage.
And this,
and I'm
this
sure time, there was like three Bud or Light four people that had a Bud Light problem. However, unbeknownst to probably all of them, they were drinking beverages owned by the parent company owns and makes Bud Light. So way to go, family and loved ones.
Well, that's what's really funny is someone said, I think it was my coworker yesterday. He said someone that they knew stopped drinking Bud Light. So they went and bought PBR, which is hilarious because they're owned by Budweiser.
Yeah. Budweiser owns, you know,
everything.
Like, dude. Yeah. So, okay, this is a hockey podcast.
Right.
But, just drink your crappy fucking beer and shut up. We're talk. Who cares? You're not talking on here. We are. So, this is,
shut
this
up.
Is Gator Space territory, okay?
Only one drink.
Don't mess. That's right. Don't mess with Gator Lake. It rains supreme.
Gator Lake don't
here.
Care who you love. You can love whoever you want for Gator Splane.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, we should get we should use like big pretty horses as our
mascot. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think anyone
from that one company that sells milk.
Is there a company that they steal milk by horse? Horse milk. Yeah, horse milk is no longer.
The one that
Gator Splake, Gator Splake is now the official only horse company that there is.
I really they hope also just
they also yeah. talk about
keep going.
Pops in for that. Yeah, Gator Lake. The-
oh man.
That's it.
Oh.
Yep. So
what do you think he's talking about?
I don't know, but he's still talking. I he guarantee
is.
It.
Oh, there is still talking involved. Oh, okay. Oh, he's gone.
There he goes.
All right.
So yeah, mystery at Gator Lake.
They would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for your damn kids.
Yeah. I think we should probably like talk about hockey, right? Isn't that what this is for?
I think so. As far as I know.
Well.
Oh, I think he might be back. Whoa. All right. You're good.
Well, it's funny because what just happened is my phone rang and I got an email on because of it. And there was a letter at the door. Also, my neighbor, the mailman was my neighbor. But it was a cease and desist letter email call from the horse milk company.
Oh, okay.
Saying that, unfortunately, but you know, we're good to go. They said, you know, fucking,
I'm glad they said, to know that they're listening in somehow. To our
via email and mailman. Just like they were like, saddle up, partner. So we got
the dogs.
We got the red dog light. We got the red rocket. The fuck. Wow. So did anybody see hockey? Anyone I've see seen the it. Taste of hockey?
I've seen some.
Yeah. Pretty sure there's hockey going on right now.
That's it.
Yeah.
I watched the first period of the Toronto, which is funny because the other day someone, I don't know if it was ESPN or something, but they posted a list of all the playoff teams that had gotten knocked out the first round, and one of them said the Toronto Maple Leafs, but next to it was the logo for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So yeah, we now refer to them as the Tampa Bay Marlies.
Oh, Tampa Bay Marley Leafs.
Right.
Marleafs.
Leaves.
The Bob Marleaves. Bob Marleaves. Marleaves anyway, and me.
Watch like the first period.
About the dog, the horse, Marleaves and right. me.
Yeah. Watch the first period of the
Marlo and me.
The Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Florida Bay Buccaneers.
The Florida Bay.
Oh my God.
Who's listening to this shit?
No one by now. There's no way.
What's the thing? Fuck it, it's an ostrich. fuck it, cut him up. Yeah, we're a real laid back company here at Pringles.
Is there a category on Spotify for nonsense?
It's complete bullshit.
Yeah, most of the... most music with over a couple million listeners.
That's true.
Yeah. That came out in the last 10 years. We're not going to get into that. And Bud Light. One per day. Pick your battles.
Let's talk about the church, too, if we're all we're at it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Can we talk about steroids and baseball?
Gambling?
Rose? Gambling. Gambling priests are using steroids, folks. Regular chicken.
Have you seen hockey? How about that?
I've seen some hockey. You did. That was well done. Mm. Like a bad steak you're going to send on back.
To you know who.
Mm, it's horse meat. So it all plays into
well, because right, it's McDonald's, right?
How we make our money. We want the money. Speaking of Toronto. So yeah, the Leafs finally made it past their despicable display decade after decade. Well, like two decades. So, yeah, one decade after one decade. That makes sense. Decade after decade. And then a lot of decades before that. Not Counter. Three times, like we said. Like as
yeah, last right. Time. Definitely not three times.
Yeah, but more than that. Yeah. But I don't know. Is it you got that the old player's curse that he lifted? You right. know, that's like spot stop number one. You got to make that happen. They did it in less than seven games. So, you know, kudos. I can't say
they got that. A lot of help.
That's not coming out of my mouth.
They got a lot of help from the Lightning being pretty banged up.
Morgan Rielly destroying Braden Point. Braden Point just never being fucking okay for the postseason.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then you got Hedman out for a few games and playing with whatever injury he had.
It's just a thing. But it was their time. Plus, you know, I think those players are going to, you're going to put all that together. Maybe, you know, obviously I think Shanahan doesn't just pay off a dude to say, lift this curse. And then he just keeps that in his, you know, back pocket. He goes and tells the team like,
right.
Hey, there was a curse allegedly, and we paid for it to go away. It's gone. Got it notarized and all that shit. So, you know, take that with you, players. And right. you just don't want to keep being those guys on that team that lets that city down. So they did it. I mean, again, it was so funny to see on social media and shit. There's already people getting 2023 Stanley Cup champions tattoos. That was before they even won. It's before they won. They went up one game in the fucking series, and that's how it went. They were already getting tattoos. But I guess that's like the closest you've gotten in a long time. So feel that way. But
speaking of letting cities down, how about them Bruins?
Yeah, damn Bruins.
It was,
I know we're a little late Bruins. To the party on this.
Yeah, we are a little bit late to the party, but
it was so beautiful.
You know, it's tough because obviously you got to have a lot of acknowledgement and respect for a guy like Bergeron. So whatever he's going to end up doing, which is probably retiring.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see him coming back.
Winning a fifth Selke trophy.
Yeah.
And then.
So, yeah, he's just a standout player. Great dude for the game, but he's Boston Bruins. So fuck him.
Mm-hmm. Fuck him. So, yeah, we'll see you in the hall. Have fun.
Yeah.
We'll see you then and like you then. Maybe he goes and no, he wouldn't do that. Who knows? I can't say that. Maybe he goes and plays for the world championship. Could happen. If you want to play some more hockey, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Maybe end it there.
Yeah.
But
there's a handful of guys on the Bruins that, you know, obviously will always be supporters of Tyler Bertuzzi. Right. Which at this point, who knows? That's an open ended book because this is the other thing about why I don't blame anybody for being at the point as a team to where you're going to like mortgage your future and sell the farm to just stack your asses before playoff time, especially on a really good year. But I mean, the shit is just so balanced against you with the hockey gods and fuck with that. You let a 3-1 series lead slip. I mean, that's when you're playing with fire right there because the Panthers are no slouches. I know that they had a kind of an iffy year and they had to play their way into the playoffs. But when you play your way into the playoffs, you are winning to begin playoffs.
And you're already in playoff mode.
Yeah, dude.
So you're Boston, in that mindset.
You're resting, guys.
Coasted the second half of the season because everything just seemed to be falling in your lap. But
I mean, they obviously you don't win 65 on accident, but
no.
It was just like, again, I would never blame a team for stacking like that. And they didn't do any of the controversial moves. We'll get to that in a second. But
in retrospect, they fucked themselves royally.
Well, because you didn't win. It's that simple. Right. No one ever says shit when you win the last game of the season, but you don't even come close. You know, what do you do now? I mean, they're so against the cap. They have like $5 million worth of cap penalties because of that, because the amount of bonuses, personal bonuses they took on. There's a bunch of shit changes. We'll have to do like an addendum thing one day where it's just all, you know, trivial type of numbers and rules and everything when it comes to when the trade deadline expires and elapses, what rules are no longer in place. You know, I've heard things like drug testing goes away in the playoffs, right? So what of that to like the equivalent of drug testing for general managers, which is how far up against the cap are you? I mean, famously a couple of years ago, Kucherov put Tampa Bay over the cap because he had an insane year and that had him reach all of his incentivized bonuses. So the Bruins did that too, right? They had a bunch of guys who, and in the beginning of the contract, you have all these things set out where it's like, if we get to, you know, if you have this many goals, if you have this many points, if this and all that, and then it's like, and we get to the playoffs and you do this and, you know, all that shit lights up. And then you're also taking on the bonuses of other contracts from guys that you trade at the deadline. So right. They got Orlov and Bertuzzi.
Well, then you got Garnet Hathaway. Fact that Pastrnak and Zacha, they have their extensions kick in after this season. So that's like $5.5 million that's added onto their cap.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the one stat that I sent you? It said they have in the next three drafts currently, they only have one spot, one draft pick in the top 64 spots for the next three seasons. One.
Now, here's the thing.
So that's this year's, right? I think they're going to end up selling some people to be able to bring in more draft picks because you can't get anything done with.
Well, you'd have to do it at the draft
in three seasons.
Your only thing that you could do.
Good spots anyway.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
So yeah, I think it's going to be tough for. I think they're going to have to start selling players and get back some of at least having a couple draft picks, even if they're like fourth, fifth rounders, just to have extra options.
Yeah. I mean, that's absurd. And is the one pick in that top 64, is that the one that they have to decide whether they're going to use or not? The one that they gave up for Bertuzzi to the Red Wings?
I don't know if that's the one or if that's not counting toward this stat or not. But either way, even if it was two picks in the top 64 for three seasons, that's still ridiculous.
Yeah. And that remains to be interesting, too, because the one they gave up for Bertuzzi is what? Is it the top 15? If they fall within 15, then they can opt to take it. And that could happen, right? I mean, I forget how you get lotto luck when you're a playoff team. But, I mean, it also has to do with being the first ones ousted. They
was that
weren't the first.
2023 protected or 24 protected?
Oh, fuck, you're right. It's 24 and then, yeah.
25 would be the relinquished whatever.
Also why it seems dubious that Yzerman would keep that. I mean,
right.
Picking in the top, I feel like he'd flip that for some reason, but that all remains to be seen. Like, it's going to be an extremely interesting draft and little bit of July
with
free agency and all that shit. See where we are. And it all depends on the lottery. We'll get to the lottery in a little bit. But yeah, so the Bruins, you know, they can't keep maybe the two biggest splashes they made via trade. I mean, I don't see how you can keep Bertuzzi and Orlov.
No.
They're both due for raises, like the biggest raises of their career thus far, you know? So again, don't blame them for selling the farm, but it's funny to watch a team that you don't like do that and then completely fucking implode.
Yeah.
And on that, even better when it comes to the caliber of trades and the controversy around some of them is the implosion
the Rangers
exactly. The tri-state
big time
area, tri-city area rivals, the Devils, you know, like their little annoying brother or whatever beating them, and it's because we are in such an analytical age with Corsi and all that shit. You know, I say one thing and I say all right. that shit. Should I add more examples? Corsi, like Ray Liotta. I've tried everything to quit smoking. Fucking cocaine, everything. You know. So yeah, Corsi and all the other things, but no other examples except mm-hmm. that one. They all said that Patrick Kane, prior to the trade deadline, was a liability on every team, or would yeah. be on every team, because he was on the Blackhawks. And on paper, it doesn't look like they gave up a lot to get Kane. We'll have to revisit that, what exactly went into the Patrick Kane trade. But you still give up shit to get a guy who you can't re-sign now and got you nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that fucking happened, right? Did well, you really need to get Kane on top of getting Tarasenko?
And he even said, like, a couple days ago, yeah, I would love to return to New York if everything works out the way that, you know, if it is possible for me to come back, I'd love to re-sign here. It's like, well, they're going to have to sell a quarter of the team just to afford you and obviously bring in new people that can help you get past the first round, because that was pathetic.
Well, here's the other thing, and I should know this going in, so sorry to talk about it and not know. We think we got a guy on there. Guy who knows a horse. A milk horse.
He rides a horse.
Guy who milks a horse. did Patrick Kane have more than 1 year left on his contract when they traded him?
I don't think so.
Ah, maybe. But who knows?
We'll find out in about
I swear that three, there was like a year left. Two.
Horse.
3-2 horse.
You know what they say. House. Don't look a milk horse in the gift.
Don't milk a gift box. Horse. Don't milk a gift horse up its in, face. Right? Totes, belotes, dog. Yeah, we are getting there, man. We're on it.
But we'll come back to the Kane thing, but I think this is a great playoffs considering, you know, what we already talked about being that there are new faces, new teams trying to claw and bite their way through. But the fact that you had the top three teams projected to go far lose in the first round.
Yeah, dude.
You know what? Top four teams, the Rangers, Bruins, Lightning, and Colorado.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. That is very cool, and it shows the possibility for other teams that are in their own little bit of a fucked up bind. I'm going to throw Minnesota in there. Minnesota can never figure out what to do, right? And these last two or so years, since the arrival of Kaprizov has given that franchise not only a reason to watch, because they were always so goddamn boring. Yeah. Really were. That's that Jacques Lemaire style hockey.
Yeah. But he's something to build around too.
Yeah. And it's fucking exciting, right? And it really does. Like, one player like that can change the outlook of everything. So you go out and you get a GM who thinks more along the lines of, oh, we got this guy, so we should act like we got this guy. Like, let's put everything we can around it. And I've enjoyed some wild hockey this year. You know, it was good stuff. I thought when they played the Wings, you know, they kind of wholeheartedly not like stomped us or anything. I mean, physically they did. Holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, that Ryan Reeves hit on Philip Hronek, and that says light years of, you know, just gallons of horse milk. That
hit was the epitome of the Red Wings season, basically.
It was.
We need to be stronger.
Hey, this guy's doing great.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was on top of that, and it was like, man, Hronek's having a really good. Oh,
boom, yeah,
yeah, and he's and he's gone.
Yeah.
So that happened, but yeah. So the Wild have done some good things, and they built a good team, and they made some decent enough moves at the trade deadline. Like, they weren't silent.
Right, they weren't silent, but I think the main issue with them is that Kaprizov got them to that realization that we need to start building around this star player. But they were only able to do so much to get into the playoffs, and then, like, no one was heard from other than him, and he was injured the entire time.
Yeah, and he was a target, and they didn't really have, for as big of, you know, they got all these guys that lay these massive hits and can fight and shit like that. Like, there really wasn't an answer to like the Ryan Suter.
They didn't do anything.
Thing. I thought it was weird that you go out and trade for a guy like Oscar Sundquist. I understand that you trade for depth, but like, I always liked Sonny on the wings. I really thought he brought an element that Detroit did not have. You know, he's a big, thick body. He's not a fast skater, but he doesn't need to be. He's surprisingly skilled. Around the net, he's got decent enough hands, he's got a good shot, all that.
He's kind of like a Holmstrom, you know. He could do a lot of things, but you'd also see him like flailing around, and he'd be on the ice from diving to poke check someone, or just falling from missing a hit every other shift. But yeah, he was fun to watch, and he, you know,
but he was a healthy scratch unless somebody was hurt.
Yeah,
for. You know, I mean, you didn't have a lot of games to say that about, and they only played one series. But, you know, they go out and get Gus Nyquist, bolster your secondary scoring a little bit, and whatever. The point is, you do that enough times, like Minnesota has done their entire time, even when they were the fucking North Stars, you know, they went to a final and got swept. So, like, I think they got swept. Either that or they lost in five. They got Lemieux and Jagr's Penguins in the early 90s.
They went back to back
with cups, and they beat the North Stars, and they beat the Blackhawks. Yeah, that was right. But either way, you know, Minnesota's got to figure out a way to get over that hump, and watching the perennial, you know, big bad teams just get dumped in the first round along with you is cool, because that means that you're seeing teams that are upstarts finally making it past shit. And it tells you that there is a way out of that.
Right.
You know, so just stay on the path where you got to figure stuff out, and these guys got to keep maturing and keep working and all that shit. We'll figure out what needs to be done. So I don't want to sound like I have too much sympathy for the Wild, but you know, they're getting better as an entertainment value, as a product.
Yeah, they just need to have a good draft year this year, because I mean, shit, Kaprizov's already what, 26, 27?
Yeah, something like that.
So they need to bring in young guys that can play around.
Matt Boldy, you know, they have a good young crop. But fuck them. Anyway, you know, you got Seattle's a big story. That's really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
That they just don't go away. Even the games that they lose, like, it shows that you get scored on. It's just like, maybe they'll get scored on two times in a row, but they'll always come back and at least score one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're never just out of it. I haven't really seen them in that state. So it's like they're playing Dallas right now, and you know, Pavelski had a big
four goal night
just like Warrior put that out, Warrior Hockey, because those are both like full-blown Warrior pros. You know, Pavelski wears all Warrior and uses all Warrior, and so does Leon.
Right.
Draisaitl had a four goal night the other night. Yeah. But I believe he scored the team's four goals, so as electrifying as that is.
And they still lost.
And they still lost. They still lost. That is the epitome of the Oilers. You have a guy score four goals, of your goals, and still lose.
You squander a legendary historical night by a player, because, I mean, you remember it, but did you come out on top? No, you didn't. Mm. But that was just game one. So happy to see basically all these series where they're at. You know, sure, give Toronto, go ahead. I'm not going to bitch that Toronto fucking moved on. I don't care that much, you know.
Well, they're down 2-0 now, so.
Well, you got a worthy opponent with the Panthers. Panthers are feisty. Panthers have a lot of playoff experience. Panthers have a ton of skill. And then the right shit starts coming into play. You know, you go out and get Kachuk. That's obviously enormous.
Dirty motherfucker.
He's dirty, but dude, he's so fucking.
Oh, I know, but good. I mean, in the best way. Like, he played such a dirty series against Boston, and I think he really threw a lot of them off their game.
Yeah, you got to do that shit. You got to like a guy like that.
Yeah.
So, and he's making his money doing that stuff. You know, another thing that I always wondered, I think a lot of people did about the Panthers is there's been a couple examples of winning a cup with a goalie that you wouldn't completely consider like an elite goalie, but elite goalies often are the thing that you need to compete year after year. I mean, look what happened. You had, sorry to you guy who will never hear this, but what the hell was Colorado's goalie's name last year? You had Francois, but he was the backup.
Was it Grubauer?
No, Grubauer,
or was it
Grubauer got exposed and then went to Seattle and signed with them or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Grubauer didn't play for them for long, but...
No. I don't know what the fuck was it. Yeah, it was Francois and...
Cup-winning...
Georgiev?
Georgiev.
No, that's this year's. They got him from the Rangers in the offseason.
Oh, that is 22. Yeah, sorry.
What the hell was the
other? Yeah.
Who is
that? That was another good... example of a great tan with New York having Georgiev backing up Shesterkin.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Cup winning goalie.
Darcy.
Got it. Darcy Kemper.
Kemper?
Yeah.
That was him, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Darcy Kemper. Thank you.
Darcy Kemper.
Okay, so Kemper's, I don't even know what the hell Kemper did this year. Did he back up Georgiev? He could have. Who cares? Who, whatever. Point is that when you have an opportunity as a team, as a general manager, and your cohorts there to get an elite goalie, like, you should be swinging for the fences. Fuck when people are like, yeah, but is he really worth that? And it's like, you could draft. It's like, we didn't get lucky and draft the guy that we're talking about.
Okay? Right.
He's a free agent. We're a sunny place, you know, to live. The guy's from fucking Siberia. Like, we're going to pay Sergei Bobrovsky $11 million a year to be a goalie.
Can you believe that dude's still playing?
It's like,
been around for a long time. Or anything. I feel like he's been around for a while.
It happens. When you're good, people recognize you for that long, right? And especially in goaltending. Like, it's easier for goalies to ebb and flow and just fall out.
Well, that's what I mean. For him to still be relevant,
have a great,
10 years later.
Yeah, because the truth of the matter is, the thing of it is that he was good enough to get himself that giant contract. And then the rest of it was all based off of, okay, how do you own up? How do you live up to that type of money? Are you the Sergei Bobrovsky of old that earned that shit? Well, every time that you're not, people are going to say that you're not, and you're not always going to be that guy. But what matters now is that you're starting to see, oh yeah, dude, they have Bobrovsky in net. And he's like basically full form Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
So like you start getting on a roll like that and you have the type of motivation that ousting the historic Boston Bruins gives you. Because you also have leadership from the guys that you have. You have two of the fucking Stahl brothers. You know, that's ancillary shit, but they're still, you know, important.
Well, they've been around.
They have a lot of experience. Yeah, exactly. And you've got Kachuk and you've got, what's his name, Montour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who the hell's their other big defenseman? They get him from the Flames?
No, they have Radko Gudas.
Yeah, dude, Gudas is a goddamn beast. Yeah,
he's a truck.
He is. He is a truck. He sounds like a Mongolian word for big truck or something. Well,
he looks like
excuse my too. Excuse my ignorance of the Mongolian language. Very right. beautiful.
Goddamn Mongolians.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah. We're not going there. But yeah, so Florida is a team that has an elite, elite goalie. Not everybody can say that. And when that kicks in and it works, it literally is like having a solid gold brick wall in net. So we'll see how far they can ride that shit, because he's going to be around for a long time, because that's a big contract that they signed.
How long did they sign him for?
I think it was the max you can sign someone. It was 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Which is always so risky for a goaltender.
And he's already been around for like 10 or 11 years.
I don't know if it's that long. That had to be his first UFA contract possible. If not his first, he might have had like a bridge deal, but he's that good. I doubt he would have had a bridge deal. So he would have been like 20. He would have been 27 or 28 when he signed that contract. So yeah, you're still coming out the other end of that thing as a fucking old man in terms of pro hockey.
What year was that he played for? Was it Arizona in the playoffs?
Columbus.
Is that Columbus?
Yeah, he was drafted by Columbus. I do believe he was drafted by Columbus. He might. But yeah, the last team he was on was the Blue Jackets.
Okay. Because I remember.
And again, remember.
When Pasha went on his run against him in the playoffs. I think that was first round.
No, you're thinking of.
Wasn't Bobrovsky.
No, it was the spaceman, not Bill Lee, who pitched for the Red Sox in the 70s. They called him the spaceman, too. But no, what the hell was his name? It's because he always talked about, like, it was Ilya Bryzgalov.
Bryzgalov, that's
who you're talking about. Yeah, he was a great, great goalie. But he just couldn't stop Pasha and. Go back and watch those highlights.
Oh, man.
From like the 2010, 2011. I think we played them 2 years in a row in the first round. We played the Red Wings, played the Coyotes, and at least one of them went to 7 games. But go back and watch those highlights. Pavel Barber should have them on YouTube.
Yeah.
Of Pavel Datsyuk.
Was an absolute animal, those playoffs. Yeah.
I remember watching those two because after like maybe it was like game four. Prior to the game, Brian Engblom was doing a little ditty, you know, the little dance with his shirt off. He was talking before a game. And there was all kinds of Coyote stuff, as there always is at the time, about like ownership, who owns them, what's their future going to be like, all that
Who
owned Coyotes. And they were like, there's all this speculation as to who owns the Coyotes. Well, we know who owns the Coyotes. Pavel Datsyuk. He's just fucking tearing him to shreds, man. So yeah, that was a good time. But yeah, that was Ilya Bryzgalov. But the Russians, they like to make their goaltenders, man. So, but Bobrovsky, what he did in 20... Yeah, we do that a lot. This whole thing, giant digression. at least it's about hockey this time. These minutes, right? So, Bobrovsky, 2019. Swept the Lightning after they had tied Detroit's record for wins in a season.
Right, he was on that team.
And now this year, he dethrones in the first round the next team to surpass that shit, right? So you beat the Bruins with 65 wins. In 2019, you beat the Lightning with 62 wins. So, like, you know, he's got that little bit of pedigree behind him. Which is great, but again, no one gives a shit unless you win the last game of the season.
Yep.
So, viva se, yes, we will. But yeah, all this stuff is great. The playoffs are looking good. Glad to see different faces in it. Oilers in Vegas, that's pretty exciting, especially the home crowds. You know, awesome stuff. And it all goes into this coming week, the 8th. Today's the 4th.
Yep. The 8th.
So the 8th is what? The 8th is like 7 or 8 days away. So
so the lottery is
lottery.
The 8th.
The APHIS.
The APHIS.
The APHIS.
Yeah, the aphids. good day.
May 5th.
Yeah, lottery. May 8th. Which is some day between like Sunday and Sunday. I think. Could be wrong on that. Yeah, it's gonna happen. Oh God, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Another, you know, as a Red Wing fan, as every person that's ever heard another Red Wing fan talk about this, since the lottery started being relevant, which is just around, you know, the rebuild time, like Dylan Larkin, 2015, Anthony Mantha.
Yeah.
You can get a little bit of help from that. You're not going to jump all the way up to first when we were picking like 20th, but you can get a little bit of help. And there's never been any help. We have not gone forward.
No.
Whatsoever. Okay. We've gone back and we've stayed put. So the most recent years, staying put has been the thing that you at least like hold your breath for and are happy about.
Right. When you're the worst and the second worst team in the league consecutive years.
Yeah.
And then we move
and to you pick fourth
and sixth.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. See,
it's all these different things. And like Alexis Lafreniere was picked the year that we had a historic for the Wings, our worst season, right? We ended up picking Lucas Raymond. I still say, like, okay, fine. With the guys that you pick, like, is Lafreniere, I think like Tim Stützle would be first overall, if you redrafted that shit.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I really like Raymond, and like, we got a lot of stuff that we need. We needed a guy with an elite shot who shot right. Lafreniere's a lefty. Lafreniere's not
defensive,
a natural center. Minded
offenseman.
Yeah. So like, we got really good help with all that. Does getting a different spot really change anything? I mean, I haven't watched enough of like Quentin Byfield play, for example. I believe he went second overall. He's just now, I mean, he played for the Kings in the playoffs, and he looked, you know, vibrant enough.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's not really about that. What it is the Wings had an historically terrible year. And because who cares? It is what it is. COVID and the way that they restructured the playoffs and everything. The Rangers, who were a playoff fucking team that year, won the draft lottery and picked first overall. And what, the year before that, they got second overall pick?
Yeah.
With Kaapo Kakko, which both really guys are not panning out. So whatever, cares, but you still got the chance at it. Yeah. Like, why can't other teams, like, give them the chance, give us the chance to pick a guy first overall who ends up being a bust? At least we could say it happened.
Right. And it's always right? The, you know, the Wings would never, as far as I can tell, at least in this day and age, we would never bomb on purpose to get to that top spot. And even when we earnestly got the worst spot in the league, we still couldn't get number one. But watch, the Ducks right now, they bombed pretty good. I don't know if it was on purpose, but it happened. They lost 13 games in a row to end the season. That's crazy. How do you even, like, you can't, you have to try to suck that bad, I swear.
So yeah, there's, you know, there's actually a lot of things we could talk about. I don't know. Shit, we could do a little bit of research. But I'm sure you have some ideas, Eric, about. No.
Yeah, this, fuck that. No, dude. Cut it. Dump the whole thing. Jesus Christ.
I think I'm just going to stop it hard. And I'm going to say.
Yeah.
For the listener that doesn't know, we had 5 disconnections of Wi-Fi.
Technical.
This is where it ends. So I'm going to come in and say, this is how it ends.
And be like, that's what we're going to do. Know, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
So damn hot.
Yeah, I'm Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy.
God damn it, who put a question mark on the teleprompter?
Oh.
Right there. Cut it. Yeah. Just fuck.